Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming to my channel. This is talking about Armed Forces Day in the United Kingdom. They used to call it Veterans Day for a while. So it was first announced way back in 2006 by Gordon Brown, who was Chancellor Exchequer at the time. So this is separate from Remembrance Sunday, which is the nearest Sunday to the 11th of November. And so that's about all the soldiers, sailors, airmen, airwomen, and so on, who were killed in the First World War and all the subsequent conflicts. But this is different. This is about veterans, those who survived and so on. So giving medals to former service women, service men, and things like that. So why do they do it? It's usually the last Saturday in June, because the first time the Victoria Cross was awarded, that was 26th of June, 1857. So it was sometime after the Indian Mutiny had broken out. Not really related to the Indian Mutiny, because that broke out 10th of May, 1857. The mutiny was very on, much going on at the time. Oh, you have to call it the First War of National Liberation, Indian nationalists will tell me. So there have been events around the United Kingdom to mark this, particularly the Imperial War Museum in London and so forth. So veterans who've left recently, who've left decades before. And the national event, it goes from city to city. It's been in London and Birmingham, Blackpool and so forth. It's been in Cardiff. It's been in Chatham. And I happened to be in Glasgow. Was it 2012 when it was going on? So celebrated it in North Britain as much as in South Britain. It's been held in Edinburgh and so forth. At Windsor sometimes thing goes on with their two barracks at Plymouth and Nottingham, Stirling and Guildford. They deliberately go around the United Kingdom in Cleethorpes, in Llandudno, in Salisbury, in Liverpool, in Scarbury. They didn't obviously do it during COVID times. It's going to be Cleethorpes. Not been done in Northern Ireland so far. And in Northern Ireland, unionists in favour. You know, the SDLP would be neutral on this, lukewarm at best, Sinn Féin often against, and so forth. So that is Armed Forces Day. So recognising what service women and service men do things I definitely couldn't do. Obviously, you've got to have armed forces everywhere, except for about kind of Costa Rica and Liechtenstein doesn't have them. So we realize the armed forces are a vital public service. You know, the United Kingdom is not to be invaded or other countries not to be invaded. This has got to happen. As for the Royal Navy is part of the armed forces. The United Kingdom is a series of islands and its imports and exports are often by sea. So to keep the sea lanes open, you've got to have that. So people can't drop a nuclear bomb in the United Kingdom, whatever. To support allies for humanitarian interventions, United Nations missions to help others. So the United Kingdom has fought many wars over existence. The UK as such has only existed since 1707. They're the former constituent countries of the UK, fought as well. And the UK has been on the wrong side sometimes, on the right side sometimes. Obviously, it's been messy. And these are often political decisions. And military personnel don't often concern themselves with these things. Frankly, they don't always understand them. And they have to obey orders because that's military discipline. And obviously, military cannot function without discipline. Orders are not optional, or it's just not going to work. You agree, you disagree, doesn't matter. You've got to do it and to the best of your ability, because they're not to be barrack room barristers debating the rectitudes of every military action. Goodness, that's it. And I couldn't last one day in the armed forces. Well, I wouldn't want to. The armed forces obviously not big enough. And, you know, you can join some levels without any GCSEs or whatever. Realize you don't need to be an intellectual. And officers have to have A levels. I mean, in practice, they usually have degrees these days. Going to Sandhurst, the Royal Military Academy, do a one-year course, far less rigorous than the United States, where like West Point, they're doing 4 years to get a degree as part of it. Is it Dartmouth the officers train at? Where is it the Royal Air Force go to? Somewhere in Lincolnshire, RAF, whatever, I can't remember. I know where the Royal Marines go. So that's what they do. The armed forces are much smaller than they used to be. The army's only got 70,000 troops. Time of Desert Storm 1991 had 150,000. Bear in mind, the UK population's grown considerably, from about 60 million to more like 70 million today. And the army is not even half what it was. I know numbers don't matter as much as they used to, but they still matter. AI and ground drones and unmanned aerial vehicles, they do some of the heavy lifting, but numbers are still important. You see how it's liberalized. People can be openly homosexual and they weren't even allowed into the armed forces openly till 2000. Someone was imprisoned in a military prison for homosexual conduct as recently as 1995. And they're people who men who say they're women or whatever, and they are allowed to be in the armed forces And what else is there? Way more women, up to sort of 10% are women. And when women were first allowed in the army in ordinary combat roles in the early 1980s, they didn't have boots size for them. They gave them the smallest men's size boot, often they had to wear two pairs of socks inside that. Sometimes that wasn't even adequate, and they might be their feet might be boiling. And obviously, sexual harassment was kind of routine at the time. Some of these NCOs thought they had tomcatting rights over the young women. What else has changed? They're allowed to wear beards now. So previously, unless they had some religious exemption or a dermatological complaint, they weren't allowed to be a hirsute. But they say it ruined the uniformity. But there is a good military reason for it. It's about military efficiency, and as much as one hair can make a gas mask is not airtight. But it does ruin the uniformity of it. And I've seen one of those guards regiments on marching, and one guy doesn't have the bearskin, he's got a Sikh turban. I say, well, can you not put him in another unit that's not so much on display? Because that sort of messes up the uniformity of it. And does everybody get to wear a different headdress? So that's it. I mean, maybe beards aren't that much of a problem. Because oddly, in the Royal Navy, they're always allowed beards, but the army wasn't for some reason. You go back to the early 20th century, and certainly the other ranks, they had to grow moustaches. For the officers, they were optional. That's it. But moustaches were very, very popular in the early part of the 20th century. So that's Armed Forces Day, some sort of parades and so on. And they can help out in civil defense things and rescuing people flooding or whatever, helping out in COVID times and do lots of physically demanding things, psychologically demanding things. I think I've been stressed out at work sometimes and nobody's trying to kill me. How would you feel going to work? I mean, speaking to a guy who was a US military veteran in Iraq about coping with that. And that's why the training is there, the automatism, because in a dangerous situation, it's fight or flight. We've got a survival instinct. You're going to run away from the danger or sometimes just freeze. Others could help you. I'm not sure what else, or just fight. The thing is, even they're going to fight, they've got to do so calmly, doing the most sensible thing and not just lashing out in panic or something like that, so that they will know how to cope. They won't lose their heads in these very dangerous and stressful situations. So acknowledge what the armed forces are doing. So military preparedness is vital. And apparently military housing has improved because a lot of them were leaving after 5 years. We're not signing another 5-year contract because it wasn't good enough. The salaries are all right. Nobody joined it for the money. And I can't think what else. The retirement age is later if they want to. They now have special units for those who are not so physically fit because they're doing the IT side of it. And you don't need to running around and carrying heavy stuff is not as important as it used to be. And perhaps that is a good thing. So perhaps they should recruit more proactively from the Commonwealth. Irish citizens were the only ones allowed to join, even though we're not Commonwealth citizens. Dual US British nationals were not allowed to join. I had a guy who's half Finnish, half British, one of my friends. He did his national service in the Finnish army, came back to the United Kingdom. Then after university, he wanted to join the RAF. And they were saying no, because then the Finns might try and call you back if there was a war and blah, blah, blah. But you wouldn't allow him to leave anyway. Anyway, he did get into the army, did 12 years in the British army. Well, anyway, thanks for watching my video, and do what you can to say a cheery thank you to veterans. Toodaloo.